If you have a Bible, grab it, please. And we're going to be focusing on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And the message of the title pretty much tells you what the message will be about. The message of the title this week, what is God like and what does he want me to do, from Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. In way of an introduction, February 7th this year, my nephew, my oldest sister's son, he and his wife had their second child, so my sister's second grandchild. And what happened was that I thought about my nephew's son, which led me to think about my dad, which led me to think about God. Can I explain how I went from one to the other to the other? Well, what's interesting is that my son Jason looks a lot like my dad. My dad died when I was 19. He died in a car accident. And just after that, I accepted Christ, and a lot of things changed. But the second son, his name is Cohen, and then his middle name is Harrison, named after Brittany, Jason's wife, after her grandfather. And then they put in Alexander, which was my father's middle name. And so Cohen, Harrison, Alexander De Silva. That's his name. And so there's a lot of nostalgia there. And so when I heard the name Alexander, I thought about my dad. See how that works in this mind of mine? And so I started thinking about my dad, and when I thought about this message, I thought, okay, my dad got out of the Army when he was 22, and he lived in Scotland. He came to Canada, and then he became a police officer, and then he became a bouncer in a bar, and then he became a used car salesman. And that got me thinking about God. And I need somebody to say to me, Mike, what does that have to do with God? Go ahead, someone say it. Well, here's what it is. I'm convinced that a lot of people need to understand, what is God like and what does he want me to do? And for a lot of people think that God is like a police officer. He's an enforcer. That's his job. His only job is to go around and tell you when you've done something wrong and enforce the law. Or some people, I think, are convinced that God is like a bouncer in a bar. In other words, if you're out there having a good time and you are having too much of a good time, what does God want to come along and do? No more party. Out you go. Or how about this one? God is like a used car salesman. And it kind of looks good. And it maybe even drives good the first time. But a little ways down the road, what's going to happen to that used car? And that's why this morning's message is, what is God like? And what does he want me to do? And so that's where we're going to go with this. And the first thing I want to say this morning is this. From Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. The first thing I want to say this morning, what is God like? First and foremost, in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, he is the Lord. What is God like? Well, he is the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And notice how it's all capital letters. You can have, in normal world, you can have kings and you can have lords, but this is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This is God's special name. In fact, in Hebrew, we believe that it's spelled YHWH, Yahweh. And there's something special about that name, because you may think you know what God is like, but you don't know what God is like until you know his name. God's name is special. And here's what it is. And my nephew Jason, remember I said they had their second child? His wife's name is Brittany. What you need to know is that just before they were married, her brother died suddenly from an illness. His name was Chad. It devastated the family. I took part in the wedding. I was there for the wedding. And it was just, there was this joy of a wedding, but then there was this bittersweet sadness of not having her brother there. His name was Chad. Now, what did they name their son. Cohen C. Harrison Alexander Da Silva. See those four little letters? See, they didn't call him Chad, but what they did is there was this underlining meaning in this very special name. And it's the same thing with God's name. When we say that he is the Lord, well, you have to be careful here, because he's not the Lord police officer. He's not the Lord bouncer. He's not the Lord used car salesman. He's simply the Lord. And when Moses said to him in the Old Testament, when he said, well, what's your name? God said, my name is Yahweh. In other words, it means I am who I am. I shall be what I shall be. It's a name that means God is consistent, unchanging. He's the God who wants to speak to men and women. He's the one who helps. He's the one who rescues. He's the one who strengthens. He's the one who comforts. And he's the one who loves those who want to follow him. See, there's something special about God. And when you say to me, what is God like? Proverbs 3 kind of says, he's the Lord. He's not maybe what you think God is. He's what he is. He's the one who wants to love and work in your life and care for you. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in who? The Lord. The Lord. There's something special about who he is and how he wants to have a relationship with you. Number two, what is God like? Well, he's a God who wants to straighten and is able to straighten out your life. Notice what Proverbs chapter 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make. I want to emphasize the word will. He's able to straighten out your life. No matter what's going on, no matter how successful you are, no matter how much of a failure you may feel you are, God wants to straighten out your life. He wants to come alongside you, not as a police officer constantly reminding you of your guilt, not as a bouncer in a bar constantly saying you can't be like you've got to admit, my personality sometimes can be Mike-ish. And God doesn't come along and say, Mike, stop being you, be somebody else. He says, Mike, be who I want you to be, but still be you. And he says that to all of us. And he's not the used car salesman saying, Mike, I'm going to promise you something good, but then I'm going to give you something less than good. He's able to straighten out your life. It says he will make. That's what God wants to do. He's the Lord. He's the one that we can go to honestly and truly. He wants to straighten out our lives. Number three, he wants to make you successful. Notice this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight. He wants to make you successful. The idea here is of someone helping you. It's the idea of turning on your phone and activating the GPS so that you can get to the place properly without driving all over the place. It's the idea of the GPS suddenly saying, hey, this road is closed. There's a better way that you should go. This is the idea of God wanting to make you successful. When it says he will make your path straight, the idea is that God has your best interests in mind. He wants to be glorified, but he wants to allow you to experience what the Bible says is success. And I'll say more about that in a minute. We have a young lady. We have a home in the back that we rent. And the young lady that lives there, she often takes her car from downtown San Jose, where we live, to the Diridon station. And then it takes her 25 minutes to go by train to the hospital where she works in Palo Alto. Well, the other day she told me she missed the train, and it took her 2 hours to come home from work. Now, when you look at God as one who can make your way straight, a lot of people are thinking, you know what, I'll just do it myself. I'll get there my own way. I'll do it the way I want. God, though, wants to come alongside and be the engineer or the person who leads and directs your life. I kind of like God's way better. But let me use a verse. Thus says the Lord God, because I like this verse. Before we move on to point two, what I like about this verse is it says a lot of things. It talks about who God is, but then it talks about why we should trust him. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion. That's another word for Jerusalem. So in other words, God has laid a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. In other words, what God builds, he maintains, and he does it right the first time. But it's this last phrase from Isaiah, whoever believes in me will not be in haste. I love that. Whoever believes in me will not be in haste. When you look at the Bay Area, when you look at your life, what is the most precious commodity in a lot of people's lives? Time. It just goes by so fast. Would you like to spend 2 hours in traffic every day? Or would you rather spend 25 minutes on a train, reading, checking your email, getting caught up on work? This idea, imagine the young mother that goes from soccer to ballet to baseball to after-school tutoring to picking up the other child. Imagine what's the thing they say. Where will I find the time? And what's interesting is when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, when we understand that God has our best interests in mind, when we understand that God can straighten out our lives, when we understand that, yes, God loves you and wants you to be successful, when I look at this verse, whoever believes in me will not be in haste, I don't just see there maybe time savings. I kind of feel this peace and this security and this overwhelming, just, I can survive at times when it's like, what am I going to do? That's who God is. That's who he is. But, there's one more. You ready for this? He's the Lord. He's loving. He's caring. He wants to straighten out your life. He wants you to be successful. But understand this. I'm not going to pull a used car salesman on you here. He is demanding. What does it say here? Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. I think the reason that a lot of us maybe think God is a policeman, or God is a bouncer in a bar, or God is a used car salesman is because the way we see a lot of people live their Christian lives. I think God gets the blame for what a lot of people say God is. And the interesting thing is there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians that aren't putting it all on the line. He's the demanding God. He wants you to give him everything. If it's like, well, Mike, you know, you talk about God like he cares about me. You talk about like God wants to work in my life. But, well, my question is, have you given him all your heart? Or are you trying to run your life your way? I want to take the train, but I'm not going to drive to the train station. I want to straighten out my life, but I don't want to make the necessary changes. See, God is demanding. And when I thought of this, I had to go back to high school. I don't know what sports you guys played or didn't play. I don't know what kind of, maybe you played an instrument. But if you had a teacher, here's what I'm going to say. You ready for this? The best coaches I ever had were what kind of coaches? Hint, hint, hint. Demanding. The best coach I ever had, maybe the best boss you ever had, was what? Demanding. They wanted a full day's work for a full day's pay. But were they a good boss? Maybe if men, you can probably get this more. The best spouse I ever had was what? Demanding. Because we know that if left to ourselves, we'd be what as men who were married? Just a bunch of potato chip eating, watching TV all day, never fixing anything around the house. That's what we'd probably devolve into. See, this, we look at demanding, and especially in this culture, don't tell me God's going to run my life. Don't tell me that, you know, God expects me to do things. And we look at that in our culture like he has no right. And yet, when you think about it, where would we go if a parent, a coach, a spouse, if a boss, if they didn't expect from us, what would happen to us? And I just had to look at this, and I had to say, you know what? Yes, he's demanding. He wants all my heart. But I also realized that when I look back on my life and I tried to run the show, I didn't do too well. God is God. And what is God like? He's the Lord. He's special. He's not anything that we can think of. He's God. And he cares about you. He can straighten out your life. And he wants all your heart. Now, number two. What does he want us to do? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. What does he want us to do? If he is the Lord, if he is the creator of the universe, what does he want me to do? Well, I said us intentionally. Let me just go back. Sorry about that. What does he want us to do? Because at this part in the message, when we apply, I want you to understand, this isn't me telling you. This is us. This is like me and you together. But notice this. Number one, God wants you to take one step in his direction. It says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord. That's the step in the right direction. God wants you to take that one step. He wants you to take that one step of trust. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 30, notice this, for thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were, what's the last word? Unwilling. God wants you to willingly, of your own decision, he wants you to take a step in the right direction. That's all. And like, Mike, what does that mean? And I thought about this. I was really kind of frustrated that the weather was so yucky today. But actually, it's working better for my sermon. Because let's go to the beach. Okay, what does it mean? But you are unwilling. When God wants you to take a step, just one step in his direction to trust him, well, I'm going to say this. After church, let's go to the beach. And somebody needs to say, but Mike, it's cold, it's rainy. Exactly. Well, how about this? After church, let's do it one step at a time. After church, are you willing to check the weather on your phone app? Just, that's all. Then the next step is this. I'm willing to drive to the beach. Are you willing to come with me? The next step is, let's go sit on the shore. Are you willing to sit on the shore? Are you willing to walk along the shore? Are you willing to take off your shoes and socks and dip your toes in the water? Then, are you willing to go in up to your knees? And then finally, what's the last one? Let's just say. See, this is the thing. You think God will disappoint you. You think that the weather in San Jose is exactly the same as the weather in Santa Cruz. But you check your weather app, and suddenly, instead of rainy and 50 in San Jose, over in Santa Cruz, suddenly it's sunny and 80 degrees. You bunch of doubters. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I hear the grumbling. But the thing is this. All I'm asking is that you take one step in my direction. I'm not asking you to commit to dive in. What I'm saying is, are you willing to take one step in God's direction? And that step, that first step, is trust. Trust in the Lord. Allow him to work. Say a prayer of challenge to God. Say, God, and this is what I did. God, I don't even claim to believe in you. I was 19 years old. And I said, God, I don't even claim to believe in you. But God, will you show me if there are people who are Christians the way that you said a Christian should be? That was my prayer. And he led me to a church of people who were like so far from the kind of people I ever hung out with. And yet they were genuine. and caring and loving. And this is the whole thing, that when God says he wants you, just take one step in his direction, trust him. He's not asking you to dive into the icy waters off Santa Cruz. He's asking you to just take that one step and check the app of your life. What's going on in the weather of your life? Are there some storms that you need to ask God to deal with? That's all he's saying. He wants you to take one step in his direction. Second, he wants you to open your mind to a better way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. Isn't this one self-explanatory? I look back to the scary days of being a new parent with no one to lean on. I look back to the learning curve of a new job, and when I was a production supervisor at 3M, and the manager was too busy to train me. I look back at the frustration of not knowing if the auto shop was telling me the truth when they said it's going to cost several hundred dollars to fix your car. I look back at a person, you know, it's an old phrase, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. I can be stubborn, and part of that is fear. It's like, well, can I trust that guy who wants to fix my car? How come my manager won't spend time with me, and now I've got to do it myself? Why am I so unwilling as a new parent to admit it's hard never getting sleep? See, when God says he wants you to open your mind to a better way, what he's saying, and when he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, what he's saying is this: are you willing to admit that sometimes you don't have all the answers? That's all. That's all he's saying. Because God has a plan. In fact, that's what leads us to this one. It all comes back again to this. He wants you to be all in. What does he want you to do? Well, first of all, he wants you to take one step in his direction. Then he wants you to open up your mind to a better way. But then he wants you to be all in. Again, it's this thing. And that God, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In what's the next part? All your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, God wants you to not just say, this is I'll give to God and this part of my life I'll just run myself. I don't know how big a basketball fan you are, but the Los Angeles Lakers had a player by the name of Kobe Bryant. And he played with Shaquille O'Neal, who was a monster of a man. And in 4 years, they won 3 NBA championships. If you're not a sports person, the thing I want you to understand is this. They did not like each other. Shaquille left the team because of the animosity. There was a broken friendship, a broken relationship. Well, they recently sat down, and they were talking about their early days. And you've got Shaquille, massive man. You've got Kobe Bryant, who still is in such exceptional shape that he looks like he could still play. And they're talking. And Shaquille looks at him and says, because you, Kobe, were so good, I could take the summers off. And I could put on all kinds of weight. And I didn't even practice during the summer. I would take the whole off season off. Because I knew that you'd show up 100% prepared because you'd been practicing and training all through the off season. And Kobe looked at him and said, and that's why I hated you. Because I was working. I was all in. And I felt that you didn't care. And it's an interesting thing. God wants you to be all in. That's what he wants. He wants all your heart. But he also wants you to live with all your lives committed to him. All your ways committed to him. That's just the way God is. And that's what brings me to this. Unless you're all in, you'll never understand that God wants to do this. Because he wants you finally to choose his version of success. Here's the verse. Trust in the Lord. And so trust. Just God wants you to take one step in His direction. Trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And notice this last phrase, and He will make straight your paths. God wants you to choose His version of success. When I looked at what I used to think and what I think now, God's version of success, He's not a police officer. He's not a bouncer in a bar. He's not a used car salesman. He's the Lord. And when God says, choose my version of success, I'm looking at things like this: loving people and not things. How many people are consumed with accumulating stuff? God's version of success, loving people, not things. God's version of success, being faithful. Faithful to your family. Faithful to your spouse. Faithful to whatever it is you do. God's version of success, becoming a person of character. God's version of success, being there for your spouse. God's version of success, loving your children and raising children of character and integrity. I put in my notes something here. God's version of success, loving your children and raising children of character and integrity, which is not the same thing as spending time with your children. If I was to say to a lot of people, you know, what's your idea of parenting? They'd say, oh, I want to spend more time with my children. Well, God says, well, that's nice, but if you're only going to spend time with your children in order to make them lazy couch potatoes like you, well, that's not success. God's idea of success is raising children of character. God's version of success, moving on, is serving in your community. God's version of success is becoming a genuine follower of Jesus and trusting Him for your salvation. And so in this verse is just incredible because it answers the two greatest verses you could ever want to know. What is God like? And what does He want me to do? And so let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.